Welcome to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Today on the show, it's great music from around the world and an amazing celebration of the sun. First up, we get the sunny disposition of Peruvian-American singer-songwriter Kike Rodriguez Pastor. His new album, Love Like, tackles the yearnings we all experience in life with uplifting melodies and harmonies that'll put a smile on your face and a song in your heart. Then, here comes the sun. That's right, Greensboro summer solstice is here at last, so let the butterflies loose. Oh, and don't forget the fairies, dancers, fire twirlers, harps, and 27 performances on three separate stages at the Arboretum this weekend. It's free, and you're invited. Speaking of free, Sounds of the Summer is back with outstanding organ recitals all summer long. And the Collaborative presents live performances by Lawyers, Guns & Money, Molly McGinn, and Sam Frazier. So kick off your weekend right, next, when Triad Arts Weekend continues, after this news. I'm David Ford, and this is Triad Arts Weekend. Winston-Salem-based singer-songwriter Kike Rodriguez Pastor grew up in Peru and the U.S., and his passion for music encompasses everything from Dominican singer-songwriter Juan Luis Guerra to pop sensation Michael Jackson. Along the way, Kike has developed an extensive archive of recorded music in collaboration with other musicians, like the Tyler Nail Trio, and as a solo artist. His new album is titled Love Like, and we're sampling from it right now. Most proud of with this effort? I mean, I was just listening to it all morning. I really fell in love with it. Great recording.
Oh, thanks. What am I most proud of? I was going for an organic feel. Past albums that I've done have, I produced this album and I've produced past albums, and it's a learning process. And previous albums have sounded more produced than I wanted them to. And as far as the production quality of this album, it turned out being a lot more organic, which is exactly what I was going for.
Nice.
And so that's something I'm proud of and very pleased with. That and also when I set out to make this album, something I was intentional about was trying to hone in on this sort of joyful playfulness, to the music, despite of what I might be singing about. And I feel that that's also something I was able to accomplish. Not that all my music is like that. I write songs outside of this album that are not necessarily a beat or anything, but this album I wanted to be intentional about that, and I feel that I accomplished that, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Well, I certainly got it. Listening to this, obviously you've had a passion for music that goes way back. I guess we'll start there. Where did that passion come from?
Well, I come from a very musical family. Not necessarily my immediate family, but my extended family. There's plenty of musicians of all kinds. And so I feel like it's just sort of in the blood, but as far as influences and things that introduced music to my ears growing up, Michael Jackson was actually the very first thing I can remember. When I was six, I owned the album Bad, and that and Thriller. Those two albums were the introduction that I had to music.
Well, and you mentioned early on that you record and produce these albums. For the non-musician, though, non-producer, what all does that encompass?
It's really just a very limited set of recording equipment that I have at home. It's something that I've been doing since I got in college. I didn't study this in school or anything. It was around that time that I picked up recording software. It's just a computer with recording software, a microphone, and then just my beat-up instruments that I have around the house. And that's really the same setup that I have today. It's just very limited recording equipment, and I just try to work with what I have and develop my craft, my craftsmanship when it comes to editing and mixing and that kind of thing.
For example, did you play all the instruments? Did you do all the cutting and mixing and editing?
So yeah, I did all the recording. I performed a good chunk of all the music, but I definitely was assisted by a number of friends, actually seven individuals. It was a percussionist named Danielo Secu Diaz, who plays a bunch of percussion in the album. My friend Susie McCauley, who sings in the album and plays the violin. Casey Horton, who plays the viola. My friend Jonathan Webb, who plays the trumpet. My brother, who whistled in the album. And then a children's choir from a church called El Buen Pastor here in town. And they came in and sang a little bit for one of the songs. And then it was actually mastered by another friend of mine, Michael Zioli, at the Zoo Station Studios.
Ooh, 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 ah. You mentioned that you've been doing this for a while and basically the same software or sorts of procedures, but how has that craft evolved since you first started doing this back in the college years? What have you learned between album one and that it comes to Love Like?
Some of the things that stand out right off the bat are letting go of perfectionism. You know, being a perfectionist, it's so easy to just want to redo things over and over and over again.
How do you do that? How do you let go?
I can't say that I've accomplished letting go completely, but I feel, so I guess the best example I can think of is, I used to do visual arts a lot when I was younger, and one thing that I would do, I love to draw faces, and I was a perfectionist about that. I really like to make it look as real as possible. Well, one day, I decided to do a very common exercise called the blind contours, which is when you look at a mirror and you look at your face, but you never look at the sheet of paper, and you try to draw what you're seeing without checking on the sheet of paper if what you're drawing, you know, is perfect or close to perfection. And I looked at the sheet of paper and I realized that looks so beautiful. It's so organic and imperfect, but beautiful, you know? And that helped me. That single exercise in visual arts helped me, and I was able to transfer that to recording, and that helped me sort of let go and just trust that the imperfections are beautiful.
Translate the visual into the audio realm and what letting go can give you sonically, and maybe an example from Love Like, if you would.
The things that are happening in the room, the things that are typically excluded from what you can hear in a recording, I like to include those because I feel that in a way that bridges the gap between the listener and the performer in a way. I feel like it makes it a little bit more personal, and it makes, I don't know, the artist seem not quite so far away and distant from some other world, which, and at least in my experience, when I hear a really well-produced album, it feels that way. It feels almost like Hollywood or something. And that's not a bad thing. It's just what it feels like. But I wanted to sort of make it feel like it's somebody from your living room or something that you're just sort of overhearing from the other room, you know, but still with a professional sound.
So, yeah, I thought it was interesting. You're sharing what some people have garnered from your music, described as having an international sound that reminds them of the beach.
That description, an international sound that, you know, that's sort of reminiscent of the beach, is very specific to this album. It's something that, like I said, I was trying to be intentional about. When I write music in general, I like to be eclectic. But in this, when it came time to record this album, I really wanted to hone in on a style, and a particular style that happened to be resonating in me at the time. And it was one that had, you know, this sort of tropical feel to it with the bongos. And actually, you've described my music in the past as having this sort of ska reference in a way. And that's also present in the album. And the playfulness that I described earlier, I don't know, people keep telling me. I imagine myself being on the beach when I listen to this. So, yeah. It's
which is a great place to be.
Yeah.
Ma 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 ma
The title cut, track three. Yeah, I love the repeating guitar pattern sound, the engine in this tune. Nice production elements in this tune. Tell me about recording process for a tune like this. Could you walk me through the process a little
bit? Okay, so the recording, I pretty much laid the guitar down for every song in the album so that I could just keep the mic where it was and have a consistent, you know, tone of the guitar throughout the entire album. And that's, you know, so I started with the guitar in that song. And I pretty much did everything that I could do. I laid down the guitar, laid down the bass, and then I invited my friend Oseku to come and do the percussion to give the rhythmic quality to it. And then I had my friend Susie. She came by and...
Is this Susie McCauley of The Breathing Room?
Correct.
Oh, how about that?
Okay. Yeah. Her voice is... I mean, everyone who's been hearing these songs, they're just saying the same thing. They're saying Susie's voice just lifts the album to a whole new level. It's just so complimentary to what I'm doing, and it's just beautiful in and of itself.
It's a great pairing with your voice, too. It creates a really nice instrument.
Yeah, I agree. It's a nice contrast, and when we sing together at the same time in the album, there's a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
So the recording process, it all happened. It didn't happen in the studio. It happened in a room. There was no acoustic treatment. It was just, like I said, it's a very sort of humble home studio. And it happened quickly. You know, people are busy, and I just asked people to come in, and they were generous with their time, and they just knocked it out rather quickly.
And then Candle of Yearning, this kind of speaks to the uplifting nature of what we're talking about. Dad, I just want to say I thank you for being a father. Mom, I hope you know I love you. You're such a sweet mother. God, I want to grow and I pray. Teach me to hear you. Shine on this world in this soul. Mm-hmm. Really powerful sentiments. Is spirituality a big part of your life?
Certainly. It's central. You know, every single day I try to nurture my spirituality.
Dad, just want to say I thank you for being a father. Mom, I hope you know I love you. You're such a sweet mother. God, I want to grow and I pray. Teach me to hear you. Shine on this world in this soul.
I love the sincerity of those lines so much. It just rings for me. And there's definitely a yearning or longing quality in this particular tune. What is that in that sense? Could you break it down for me?
The yearning is actually the theme of the album. It's a theme that is present, and it's one I wasn't intentional about. It's actually something that I realized in retrospect. You know, when I was done with the album and I began to listen to it and I tried to think about the thing that ties it together, as far as lyrically, I feel that there's a sort of expression of yearning that takes place throughout the album, whether it's yearning to find a sense of home or yearning to grow as a person, to grow in my spirituality or to go and explore, travel, meet a companion of something, what have you. It's yearning is pretty much present throughout the entire album, and that's kind of how I've been promoting it. I've been on my website and my blog, I've been saying, describing this album as a playful expression of human yearning. While yearning can be associated with frustration and sort of a darker sentiment, I guess I wanted to express whatever I want to express, whether it's light or dark, but I wanted to express that underneath the umbrella of a sort of playful and joyful attitude,
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what's happening throughout the album and definitely in that song.
You bring the best of the 60s to your music sometimes. I mean, you didn't live through the 60s at all, but I'm talking about just great vocal choruses and full harmonies. And is there a specific feeling you associate with those sorts of sounds?
Absolutely. The Beach Boys, huge influence. I love the Beach Boys. I love their album Sunflower. That's definitely a direct influence with what I do for a number of years now. I love harmonies, and I love that 60s pop. I love it.
How does your multi-instrumental background help you as you form a new piece and develop it, like And I Was You? Is there a downside to that sort of familiarity with so many different aspects of the performance?
You know, playing on multiple instruments, and I don't play that many. A lot of them are related. You know, I play the bass guitar and I play the guitar, and I sing, and then I do some percussion here or there. That is enough for me to be able to bring my vision to life, you know, and that's a great, and I'm very grateful that I can do that, you know, because I have very specific ideas, and I don't have to depend on anyone else to be able to bring my ideas close to how I envision them, because I'm able to do, you know, all the things that are involved. But obviously, I am limited. I can't play the viola, I can't play the trumpet, and I don't play the bongos like a real bongo player plays them.
Anywhere Will Do is the next track, and the trumpet intro and solo on this sounds so appropriate. At what point in the composition did you envision that instrument taking place there?
Because I was doing everything by myself before this project. The colors were too similar in my previous albums, you know, just vocals, guitars, and some percussion. I wanted more colors, and so that line in that song that you hear being played by the trumpet was originally a part that was sung. But I wanted to have more colors.
Once you add voices, and in this case instruments, do you make structural changes based on what you're hearing, or your songs typically fully formed after composition?
There's no formula to it. It varies. Sometimes I get exactly what I'm going for right off the bat, you know, and then a lot of things I switch completely in post-production, you know. And I don't limit myself. I'm not really a purist about how to go about it. I just, if a song is not what I, if it just doesn't feel right to me as it stands, I will go back and just cut things and just put them and place them in where I want them to be and restructure the song. And so in a way, it doesn't really represent a performance, but rather it's just a composition in the studio. I'm not trying to replicate a performance, but rather get a compositional idea to life to the best of my liking.
Toca mi piel. Touch my skin. And you're talking about the light of the sun in this case.
Correct.
You're bilingual, or at least bilingual, Spanish and English. Why did you choose to sing the majority of this album in English?
There was no real intentionality about that. The majority of the songs that I sang, the natural expression was just came out of me in English, you know. And then this particular song that's in Spanish, the only Spanish song in the album, same thing happened. It just felt more natural for it to be expressed in Spanish, and that's really all there is to it. There wasn't much of an agenda or anything like that.
Luz del sol, acaríciame, 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 luz del sol, toca mi piel, hazme sentir bien, hazme sentir bien, hazme sentir bien.
Tell me about Toca Mi Piel. It's a very simple song.
It is a very simple song. It's really just as simple as just enjoying the warmth of the sun. I mean, I grew up by the beach. I grew up in Peru and Florida, so I feel most at home in a warm climate. And now that I live in North Carolina and I've been here for the past 10 years, whenever it's, you know, we're getting towards the end of the winter, I'm ready for the spring, and I'm just anticipating being outside and just enjoying the sunlight and the warmth that I feel on my skin. And so I wrote that song right around that time of the year.
Black Water, great vocal harmonies at the start here, and it reminds me a little bit of that Yes, So, is it 90125 vocals release back in the 80s, and the clarity of these great vocals, they stand on their own. Billy stared at the water, but he saw nothing but her. She said, Billy, don't bother. We've all been there before.
Yeah, exactly. It's about, you know, I was at a time in my life when I wanted to restore a relationship, and the person that I was wanting to restore the relationship with just, you know, wasn't interested. And so, and it's, the vocals are, I think, are pretty self-explanatory, but yeah, that's all that was.
Billy stared at the water. Nothing, just her. But she said, Billy, don't bother. Ooh.
I love these lines here. What are dreams? Someone tell me what they mean. Could be nothing. Could be everything. And then you go on to say, to sing, could be someone's trying to reach me. And you say, keep on dreaming. And I love the play on words there, because, I mean, keep on dreaming could mean that dismissive, yeah, right, keep on dreaming, buddy. But it could also be looking at, the glass is half full.
Exactly. And that actually was intended to be sort of double meaning. Yeah, that whole song is just, it plays around the idea of dreaming in the literal sense, when we dream and the experience of having dreams while you're sleeping. And sometimes they can be so powerful and mysterious, and we're just left to wonder, you know, what's that all about? And I know there's, you know, psychological studies that point us in one direction, and, you know, but I can't help but wonder if there's maybe something beyond that, and that song sort of explores that. And it also sort of explores dreaming in the sense of, you know, goals and those kinds of dreams, you know. And I like to dream. I like to think about the things that I hope to achieve in my life and hope to experience. And dreaming in and of itself, it's almost like the goals don't even matter. It's like the act of dreaming is something that I enjoy doing, you know.
What are dreams? Someone tell me what they mean. Could be nothing, could be everything. 'Cause when they're here, they play around, then they're gone. They are not here for no reason. I wonder, maybe someone is trying to reach. Someone is trying to reach me.
Salem-based singer-songwriter Kike Rodriguez Pastor. His new album is titled Love Like. The Sunny CD will be available for online purchase beginning, appropriately enough, on summer solstice, June 21st. Half of the proceeds from the CD will go to El Buen Pastor Latino Community Services in the Triad, and you'll find links to more information about both at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Kike also produces what he calls bite-sized videos, covering a wide variety of subjects, from pleasant walks through his Winston-Salem neighborhood to views out of his airplane window on a return trip from Peru. The video images are accompanied by Kike's original music and his own illustrations. They're really cool, and you can view them all on our website as well. Again, that's WFDD.org, and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. This is Triad Arts Weekend, and we'll take a short break now. When we return, break out your fairy wings and magic wands, because it's time to celebrate the longest day of the year in style. Music, butterflies, fire dancing, loads of live music, and so much more at Greensboro Summer Solstice 2014. It's a 10th anniversary celebration you do not want to miss next, when Triad Arts Weekend continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. This weekend, while the tilt of the Earth's semi-axis is most inclined toward the sun, we'll be enjoying our longest period of daylight. And for thousands of Triad residents, that means it's time to party. With dozens of outdoor performances going on all day, what better place to do so than at Greensboro's Summer Solstice in the Gate City's spectacular Arboretum? Self-described community activist, serial entrepreneur, and proud member of the creative class, Susan Sassman has been head fairy throughout the 10-year history of this wonderful community-building event. Sue's seen it grow to a team of more than 300 performers, vendors, sponsors, and volunteers.
She got on a train in Memphis, so she wanted was out west.
When I came to Greensboro, after my kids started getting to school age, I wanted to get more involved in the community. And I started running the National Organization for Women, and that led me to starting a Women's Resource Center in Greensboro that's still there 20 years later. Then I found my way into the creative class because I am very creative, and I started surrounding myself with musicians and artists and dancers. And when I started the Summer Solstice, those people all came on board. And we have quite a creative class in Greensboro.
It's amazing. And tell me like a highlight along the way, or I guess, you know, your journey into the creative class, something that just blew you away and has stuck with you.
I started in 2005 with my business partner. We wanted to highlight our new business called Joie de Vivre, Joy of Life. And we were going to be doing community events and projects that would just bring the joy from our citizens of Greensboro to the surface. And we threw the Summer Solstice as an event to highlight that business back in 2005. And we didn't expect many people to come because it was never heard of before and people didn't really understand the solstice. But 3,000 people came.
Wow.
And so we knew we'd hit a nerve.
People were hungry for it.
They were. It was a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We had no performers. We had no marketing. But the word spread. People came. They loved it so much that it has grown tremendously over the last 10 years. So.
Yeah. And this is, looking at the pictures on the web there, it seems like it's cross-generational.
It very much is. It's cross-cultural, cross-generational. It's a free, family-friendly event, and it goes on all day long.
And you are the head fairy.
I am.
For the event. What's in the job description for head fairy these days?
I manage 325 people under me. We have 100 vendors. We have 50 sponsors. We've got 100 volunteers. Then we've got all of our performers. And so just making sure that everybody is happy, getting what they need. I also do all the promotions, the radio and the print, and work with graphic designers and just try to keep people's joie high as we move through, you know, the few months leading up to Solstice.
If not the challenge, to be a good delegator, you got to create some buy-in for those 325 folks. How do you do it? What's a nugget you picked up along the way in terms of organization?
Well, I bring people together to my house for fairy gatherings. And we whip out the glue guns and we turn on the music and, you know, we drink Summer Solstice beer and bring in pizza and we create costumes or we do signage. And so the bonding that happens with those volunteers invests them in the movement. And so they have so much fun and they meet new people and it excites their creative flow. And so they come back year after year and they bring friends with them.
I know that you're always in the lookout for more volunteers. I mean, 325 folks, that's an army of help and work. But what sorts of feedback do you get from the volunteers?
Well, they love it because they get priority parking and free food and drink all day. So if you're going to come anyway to the solstice, why park far away and have to purchase your food and drink all day? Just do a two-hour shift as a volunteer, get a beautiful t-shirt that has our lovely graphics on it, and let us cater to you as you cater to us for those 2 hours, and be a team of this solstice tribe that will build the infrastructure, park the cars, run the stages, clean up trash, decorate children. We've got all kinds of jobs available, from creative to organizational to physical.
Well, set the scene for us in your best made-for-radio performance art voice. We're at Summer Solstice 2014 now.
Right, and it is a Midsummer Night's Dream. It begins at 9 in the morning when we start building infrastructure, and at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we are ready to receive the 6,000 to 7,000 people that will flock to the solstice, many of them dressed up like fairies and fairy goddesses. Even the men will don togas and Caesar wreaths and will try to bring about that Midsummer Night feeling. So there are harps and flutes and tai chi and yoga going on early in the day. It's kind of a quieter, more ethereal feeling. The tents are all up. They're decorated. The people are decorated. So the eye candy at the solstice is phenomenal. And now we have 27 performances going on 3 different stages. So starting at 2 in the afternoon and running through till 10 o'clock at night, as the sun sets and the fire dancers come out and the kids clutch their light wands, they all sit around. We have a fabulous fire show as a finale. And in the middle of the day, we do a parasol parade with a second line New Orleans drum section that will lead a parade with giant puppets, paper hand organization. Puppets and musicians and fairies and ponies will be in this parade, and that'll dump into a huge drum circle that will go on for 45 minutes with people dancing. And then we have a butterfly release that's lovely for the wee ones, and they will each open. We'll have 100 little packages that will be opened, and there'll be a live butterfly inside that's been cocooning for the last few months. And when they open it, they will take flight, and we will just be surrounded by beautiful monarchs. It's quite lovely. It's very, very enchanting and magical.
Nice. And it's got to cost an arm and a leg to get in the door for this, isn't it?
It's free.
Yeah, amazing.
It's free because it's a park. So, you know, you can bring your dog, you can bring your kids, you can bring a picnic. It's alcohol free. It's family friendly. And it goes on all day till 10 o'clock.
Sounds wonderful. And just getting into some of the performers, you mentioned 27 performances. And mm-hmm. I'm just looking at down the long list of really wonderful performers. It seems like Crystal Bright and the Silver Hands, a perfect fit for a festival like this.
Her Gypsy Jazz, she will be the finale on the main stage around 7:30. And I never get tired of listening to Crystal.
She walked around me to see what's on the other side, what's behind.
She brings something out in all of us that we've never quite felt before. She is someone on the music scene that I think is going to go very far.
Yeah, well, nice. From South by Southwest to the Triad. Pretty nice.
Yes.
Have her around.
Yes.
And professional would apply to, well, all the artists, but I'm talking about, next in line, I'm just looking at Jacob Felder there doing his mime business.
Yes.
And Kara Chambers, two just great people at what they do.
Oh, they're doing acrobatics at 8:30 on the main stage, and they are phenomenal. And in addition to that, we are really trying to promote our local talent, the Triad folks. We don't really have to go beyond the Triad to find excellent performances and music and dance. And so we're really looking to promote local vendors, local talent, local entrepreneurs, and it's working. Our city, Winston and Greensboro, has gotten on board very nicely this year for the 10th anniversary.
What are a few highlights? Who are some of the other bands or performers you're looking forward to?
Well, we have got a little bit of everything from reggae to country to Latin to folk music. We've got AM Rodeo, which will kick off. They're a standard in Greensboro. Jessica Mashburn and Evan Olson. Ladies Auxiliary Blues will be there as well. Brad Reeves has been there for 10 years. He is one of our favorites. He brings an entourage of folks to sing. We've got some new people called Southern Moon and Foxy Moxie. If you're not familiar with her, she is quite the entertainer. Partnered up with Scott Frey, who is together they are world champions 3 times over for body painting.
That's right. It's not often you get the chance to rub elbows with the Guinness Book World Record holder.
I know. And so they, Foxy Moxie will be entertaining the troops for a half an hour in the Triad local area. And Scott and Foxy Moxie will be painting my daughter Carly all afternoon into the Queen Butterfly. She will be leading the butterfly release.
Wonderful.
We've got Ranford Almond, a young man in Greensboro, 14 years old, an amazing guitarist who will be with us, and Mason Villa, who also is striking a chord locally.
Rosalita, an echo wind blows, that's when I always dream of you. Rosalita, when the train comes through, I'll be on my way home to you. I'll be dying on my house.
I think it's going to be a fabulous, eclectic day of not just musicians, but dancers of all kinds, and mimes, and hoopers, and fire, and just about anything you can imagine.
Yeah. And within that mix, I don't usually think of festivals and entrepreneurship in the same breath, but you all do. Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, you know, in the beginning, it started off as a tribute to the goddess in all of us. And we were trying to reawaken and pamper the goddess within. It was mostly a female movement that I was very invested in. And being a feminist and being the past president of the local Now chapter, I was really driving that. And it was a festival for women. It started out that way, but over the years, it has morphed into more of a community event. It's really more about the local talent, the local entrepreneurs, buying local, keeping your money local. Now, the fairy goddess factor is still very much a part of it. And when you look at the 6,000 attendees, I would say 4,000 of them are women. And they are quite excited because the whole fairy movement that gets instilled in us as children is still there when we're 60 years old. You can still see the look on people's faces when you say the summer solstice and they remember what they experienced years gone by. And they light up like a Christmas tree. Now, the men, they come. They like it. There's so many beautiful women to look at that, of course, they love it. And the food is phenomenal. And the music is great. So what's not to love? The children really like it because it's just a free-for-all where they can just run and play and dance. And they have bubbles and fans. And I think it really makes an impact on them. So I'm happy that we still have the fairy goddess part of it. But it really has morphed into more of a let's get on it with the community. Let's get together and keep our money here and help the people soar.
And you can go to our website and you will see lots of smiling faces, men, women, children, old, young, and in between, all having a great time and enjoying so much there. One of my favorite pics is a senior, we'll say, with butterflies on his head.
And, oh, yeah.
Big
That's
smile.
A good one. And also, yeah. My girlfriend, Viola Trent, she turns 102 on Solstice Day, and she has always come as a special guest in her wheelchair with her crown, and we meander her throughout the gardens, and little fairies come and put petals and flowers at her feet, and she's done that up until she turned 99, and then she had to go to Wellspring. So she's residing in Wellspring in the air conditioning, and she will experience her own little solstice birthday party the next day. But she'll be with us in spirit, and she was my neighbor for 25 years and was the very first summer solstice sponsor. So you'll see her on the website too. Queen Viola, queen of everything.
Well, Sue, thanks so much for stopping by.
My pleasure.
Greensboro Summer Solstice Head Fairy, Susan Sassman. This year's celebration begins Saturday afternoon, June 21st at 2, and it'll run through 10 o'clock at Greensboro's beautiful Arboretum. The rain date is Sunday, June 22nd. The head fairy is still looking for more volunteers. She says it'll be mostly directional work, and there are a few nice perks that go along with your volunteerism. You'll find links to how you can get involved at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we'll be back with more great music on Triad Arts Weekend after this short intermission. From the contemplative tones of antique organs to the bluesy stylings of Lawyers, Guns, and Money, and beyond, next, when Triad Arts Weekend continues. This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Sounds of the Summer 2, exploring the tones and colors of organs in Winston-Salem, continues Sunday, June 29th at 7 o'clock with the Reuter Organ in the Ardmore Baptist Church. With its many, many sound options, this instrument is, to the organist, an orchestra under the fingers. As part of this recital, you'll hear Dan Locklear perform some of his compositions, including a premiere of a new piece. The program will be presented by Norris Norwood, Dan, and Regina Pozzi. Sounds of Summer co-founder, organist Dreema Lovett spoke with me recently about this remarkable performance series. I began by asking Dreema about her new piece for organ.
It was kind of a weird process. I started noodling around the organ and these sounds were coming out, and I thought, well, where's that coming from? And I felt like, this has something to do with Bethabara Park. This has something to do with Bethabara. And then I was playing through my recordings of bird calls, and I realized as I hit that one, I was like, this is it. This is the missing piece of this piece that's sort of starting to emerge out of me. This is what I'm hearing on some subconscious level that it needs to be in the piece.
There's any combination of old and new kind of antique sounding organ sounds within the bird sounds, some melodic sounds, and then some dissonant things going on. Interesting sequence of notes.
Oh, thank you. Some of that is written and composed, and some is improvised.
Improvisation, a huge part of organ tradition.
Yeah. So the bird calls on the top register are improvised play, yeah. And the other two, pedal and left hand, are written.
You sent me a sample of some music by Peter Sheehan, a fellow that you met not long back, and showcased some of his work. Tell us a little bit about this piece, and lots of variety there.
Well, Peter and I were walking in St. Antoine one day, shortly after I arrived, and I had just met him. And I had just heard a recital played on this wonderful French classical instrument in mean tone, you know, beautiful sounds. And it was all, let's say, repertoire appropriate for the instrument. Nothing new, all old stuff. And as we were walking along, I said to him, does anybody write new music for this older instrument? I really feel like we need to make sure people understand we don't think of these as museum pieces, but they are continuously inspiring us, organists, to write new music. And he kind of looked at me and was like, well, I do. When he started playing it, there were all these tourists that wandered through the Abbey, and they got really quiet. And they gathered downstairs. It was a big crowd, and they just stood down there listening to this trumpet's piece on this fabulous trumpet instrument. And then afterwards, this huge applause, and we were all like, Peter, you think you have to play that on the recital with us? And I was really excited about sharing them when I got back.
Set the scene with the typical event like.
Well, this year, they're all group recitals. You'll hear three different organists play, so they will have a different interpretation on the organ. They'll present you with all sorts of different little pieces and a wide variety of sound usage. And you'll hear music that might be what we would think of as standards and stalwarts of the repertoire. You might hear a beautiful, thoughtful Bach piece, a premiere of a brand new piece, world premiere. Dan Locklear will play one at Ardmore Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably hear some pieces that have not been published before, but that are by, I think Ray's going to play an unpublished trumpet tune at Calvary. And you might hear orchestral transcriptions, also at Ardmore Baptist. I know they'll hear some foray orchestral transcriptions, some what we call crowd pleasers, like the Carillon de Westminster by Vierne. Great. You hear the Westminster bells played. Beautiful piece by Vierne at Highland Press. So hopefully a wide variety of music. Nothing too long where you start to shift in your pew and when is this going to end, you know. Hopefully fun things always to keep your attention going and moving forward.
Organist, United Methodist Church Music Director, and Sounds of the Summer co-founder, Dreema Lovett. Sounds of the Summer, exploring the tones and colors of organs in Winston-Salem, continues Sunday, June 29th at 7 o'clock at Ardmore Baptist Church. It'll feature the Reuter organ there, and with its many sound options, this instrument is to the organist an orchestra under the fingers. As part of the recital, you'll also hear Dan Locklear perform some of his compositions, including a premiere of a new piece. The program will be presented by Norris Norwood, Dan Locklear, and Regina Pozzi. You'll find the complete summer performance schedule at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Programs are family-friendly, fun music, 45 minutes max, and they're free and open to the public. This is Triad Arts Weekend. This weekend, a night of stories and song comes to the Creative Center in Greensboro. It'll feature live performances by Lawyers, Guns, and Money, Molly McGinn, and Sam Frazier. Sam and Molly will play a short set, followed by Lawyers, Guns, and Money, and later in the evening, they'll join the band for some collaborative musical magic. It's an evening dedicated to songwriters, their songs, and the stories behind them, and it's presented by The Collaborative. Collaborative founder Chris Ferris says the word is a combination of collaborate and creative. He's a singer-songwriter himself, and we're sampling from his CD, Private Passion. Chris stopped by for a concert preview.
Into deep, well, I
You know, I just saw Sam for that Roots Revival series with Martha Bassett.
With Martha Bassett.
Great performer. He's just a solid musician in so many different ways. What grabs you most about Sam's performance, we'll say?
Well, I've yet to see Sam by himself. Every time I've seen Sam, he's been with somebody else. And what amazes me about him is he's like a chameleon musically. He can kind of move in with anybody and make them sound really good. And he seems to fit no matter where he is.
I got a feeling inside.
He's a go-to guy for a lot of people. And the thing I like about him is he's very unpresuming. If you walked up to him on the street, you'd never know. He just brings it when he comes to play. He's all action and not much talk.
And how do these musicians bring it to you, to the collaborative, or is it vice versa? Do you seek them out? Do they sign up on the website? How do performers get to perform as part of the collaborative?
It goes both ways. We're still trying to gain a name for ourselves, so people aren't as aware of us yet. So we're not getting many of the incoming calls. Mostly right now, I have to reach out to people.
But after this show, Chris, everyone's going to be flooding to the collaborative.
I'm going to be just inundated.
Down the door.
Yes.
Millions of calls.
Millions.
From all over the world.
Oh, God.
And Molly McGinn has a great voice and is just a marvelous songwriter and storyteller.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's got a new project coming out this year, and hopefully she'll play a song or two from that. But she's just one of those kind of interesting personalities on stage because she seems to go right inside herself, and she's totally in her music when she plays. I mean, I know she's connected with her audience, but to me, she feels like she's really, like, physically attached to her guitar and just really inside herself when she plays. She just puts out whatever she's feeling at the time, and it can be serious or it can be kind of campy.
Lawyers, Guns, and Money. I'm jumping on this, I'm hearing, oh, good. Chicago blues. I'm always about some good old Chicago blues, but then I'm hearing some gospel sounds, some Delta blues elements, and the common thread, some really nice guitar work throughout.
Yeah, Terry Van Cannon is the lead guitar player. He's been playing a long time in a lot of groups. The interesting thing about them is he's only been recently married again, and a connection besides their romance that they have found is the fact that they have become a songwriting team. She's actually writing the lyrics, and he's writing the music for a lot of their new material.
And then the Creative Center, expanding horizons by giving back to the Greensboro community at large. A tall order. How do you go about it?
Wow, and it's a big picture, too. It was started back in 2005, and there was a big dream by the owner at the time to combine spirituality, art in all its forms, and nurturing entrepreneurial spirit, all in the hopes of healing together. As it started, it was a church. It was called The Sanctuary, and the gentleman that got it going had a spiritual background, and he wanted to connect spirituality and art because they kind of are intermeshed all the time. If you're creating art, there's a spiritual aspect to it. So there are a lot of artists running studios there. There were healing programs. It has the largest chapter of AA meeting in North Carolina.
Where is it located?
It's at 916th Street in Greensboro. They have Reiki healers. They have massage therapists. They have a workout place. They have nonprofits that are helping underprivileged kids. There's a lot going on there.
Now, it keeps coming back to community with you, Chris, and I'm wondering why is that so important for you? This either the sense of community or recreating it or strengthening it, we keep coming back to that.
I would say it's mostly time of life for me. I've done and done and done for myself, and it just feels like it's time to do for somebody else, and that feels important to me. This seems like a way I can give back to my community and just feels important.
The Collaborative founder, Chris Ferris. Friday's Collaborative presentation is a night of stories and song beginning at 6 o'clock. with food, drink, and conversation until the music begins at 7:30. Then it'll be live performances by Lawyers, Guns, and Money, Molly McGinn, and Sam Frazier. The concert takes place at the Creative Center in Greensboro, 916th Street, and concertgoers are encouraged to bring a snack or finger food type item to be shared by all and their choice of beverage. Wine or beer is to be brown bagged, and there are no tickets to buy because the event is free and open to the public. Much like public radio, listeners hear the performance, reflect on its value to them, and leave a donation in whatever amount they choose. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Well, that's all for today's program. Our technical producer is Eddie Garcia, and our associate producer is Bethany Chafin. Our intern is Michaela Nance. You'll find archived episodes and podcasts on our website, WFDD.org, and click on Triad Arts Weekend. You can follow us on Twitter as well, at Triad Arts Speak. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. Email your questions, comments, and suggestions to triadarts@wfu.edu. For 88.5 WFDD, I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.